You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping in if you're new, or if you're a continued listener, thanks for checking me out. I'm not consistent. I'm sorry always in putting out my content I want to put out. Life can be busy. I'm sure life is busy with you. I went from traveling and then living in an RV to living in a furnished place to renting a house that is unfurnished to getting it furnished to so much happening, and it's just been super busy. So thanks for listening. Today's episode, we're going to talk more about the liver. We're going to talk about fatty liver, the silent killer. No one talks about that. And it's a problem all over the place. You can have a liver problem you don't even know. I'm going to share with you the amazing liver and gallbladder flush. I'm going to talk about how I can tell I have gallstones. I thought this was a very interesting chapter, so I'm going to share some of that with you. And then I'm going to share a little bit of clip of an interview that was really good. There are some other podcasters out there that I listen to, some that have massive listeners and some that don't. And there was one recently, I've listened to this podcast once in a while and I thought it's pretty good content that they put out. They have no idea I exist, but other podcasters are so good and some of them are just crap. I know you've clicked on them before and they just like skim over stuff and they don't even give you the real heart of everything. So I took a photo of this just one interview that they did. Hope it's still in my phone. And I'm trying to remember the name of this podcast. So if you could find it, I'm promoting them and they have no idea who I am. The Health Freedom for Humanity. They did an episode that was really good. Episode 72. I suggest checking them out. I would share some of it on here. I just don't have permission. Don't know how even to reach them out. I have some interviews. I'm going to start doing better interviews soon. I just have to fit that in my life. I did one and I'm looking to doing some more. I just have so much going on that it's hard to fit everything in. And it is just, you know, I got to make the time. You always got to make the time for you. You got to make the time for your health. Yesterday was Mother's Day. And if you were like me, you ate sugar. I ate more sugar than I totally should have. So today, gonna just make sure my diet is clean. I'm gonna start my diet the right way with the coffee in them this morning. If I could, I'd get my juicer out and get some good vegetable juice on. And I am gonna go into why lemon. You need to start your dinner, you know, your day with some like a hot cup of tea with some lemon and a lemon essential oil. It is so powerful for your liver. But let's just talk about their liver. I found a clip. There's so much crap out there. So I go try to find the stuff that's actually worthwhile in listening to, because there isn't, you know, there's so much nonsense on the market and so many whatever. So I'm going to start with this. This is Dr. Gus.
Disease. Did you know that one out of two individuals today suffer from fat accumulation in the liver? Well, how can this not be true if we're eating more sugar than what we really need? Think about it. We're eating excessive amounts of bread, pasta, fast foods, all culprits of fatty liver disease. Just so you know, the liver is the first organ to store fat because it's going to use it later on down the road. The problem is that we never exercise. Sometimes we sit at home and we have a sedentary lifestyle, and obviously liver disease and liver damage settle in. So in today's video, I'll reveal how you can recognize if you have a fatty liver or fatty liver disease and how to treat it to stay healthy naturally and effectively. Hey guys, Dr. Gus here, naturopath, acupuncturist, conventional doctor, and founder of DrLandivar.com. In this channel, as a conventional doctor, treat my patients through natural medicine before recurring to the use of pharmaceutical drugs. So if you're new to my channel, consider subscribing and press that bell down below to see notifications and be the first one to watch a new video. If you need a line of point of quality supplements for your disease, visit DrLandivar.com and stay till the end of this video. I'm going to share some tips and video links related to this topic. Nowadays, fatty liver disease is a very common condition caused by having too much fat buildup inside the liver. Just so you know, a healthy liver contains a small amount of fat, and it becomes a problem when the fat reaches to 5 or 10% of the total liver's body weight. But why is that important? Well, for starters, your liver is the essential organ necessary to produce hundreds of life-supporting functions. It produces bile, which helps in digestion, makes proteins for our blood, stores iron, converts energy into food, and detoxifies, among many, many other
Oh my God, sorry. This is where I don't like getting these people. I like what he says, and then I have to, here you go.
This means that if you don't recognize the symptoms of fatty liver soon enough, this can get out of control. So in today's video, I'm going to reveal how you can recognize if you have a fatty liver or fatty liver disease and how to treat it to stay healthy, naturally, and effectively. Number one, a loss of appetite or feeling full all the time. What on earth does the loss of appetite have to do with a fatty liver? If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. You see, the liver is the first organ in charge of receiving everything we eat, and its job is to classify, detox, package, and send every nutrient all around the body. Now let's think about this for a minute. If the liver is full of fat, that fat is blocking the ability of our liver to react and digest, and then obviously have a hard time absorbing everything we are eating. This results in those feelings of fullness, indigestion, and even the loss of appetite. It's not easy for the liver to function properly if it's full of fat, so you have to be careful. If you're having a loss of appetite or frequent sensations of fullness, go on a diet. Reduce your sugar intake and take a supplement that can help you to improve that liver condition. If you need something effective that you can use to improve liver function and detox at the same time, help reduce that fatty liver, look for Thistle Essence and Appleizer from Finland at drlandivar.com. Number two, weight gain. Weight gain is a very important symptom of fatty liver disease. And again, if you think about it, it will make a lot of sense. You see, a fatty liver develops when the body produces too much fat, or it doesn't metabolize fat efficiently enough. The excess fat is stored in your liver cells where it accumulates and causes a fatty liver. This buildup of fat can be caused by a variety of things. For example, drinking too much alcohol, eating too much added sugar, and eating too many carbs, which is very common. Sometimes gaining weight could be even an early symptom of fatty liver disease, because if you grow in fat, you will not only grow around your belly, but also inside your liver. So be careful. If you are overweight, it's very probable that you have a fatty liver also. Now, just so you know, a fatty liver leads slowly to cirrhosis, which in turn, in the long run, leads to death. If you need an excellent supplement formula you can use to aid in losing weight and at the same time help you reduce the dangers of a fatty liver, look for Metathyroid and Figurizer from Finland at Dr. Len.
Okay, I don't know about his supplements, so that's why I'm going to pause. You can go watch the whole thing. I don't know about his supplements. I will tell you the herbs and oils and things that I had. Having too much insulin, so the thing is, okay, they give you, they say you're type 2 diabetic. This happened with my husband. Then they start you on insulin. Well, giving your body all this insulin when you actually is insulin resistant is going to cause fatty liver. And then fatty liver, which he had for a long time, can turn into cirrhosis. And it's just a silent killer. It's, you have no idea it's going on. And there's just really mild symptoms when it comes to it, that your liver is not functioning well. And conventional medicine doesn't do it well when they don't put you on a low carb diet. They don't have you intermittent fast. Back in the day, what, say 5-10 years ago, they didn't even talk about insulin resistance. And they just would push out higher doses of insulin, and we're just being so hard on the liver. Then we're going to talk about medications. I will get to whole thing on medications and like every single drug, every supplement, everything you're taking in, topical, oral, all that your liver has to deal with, and it has a burden on it. And this is why intermittent fasting is so good on your liver. This is why starting a day with a warm cup of tea with some lemon in it is super good. Spices are super good for your liver. Now let's go into how can I tell I have gallstones? Okay, this is chapter 2 of this book. During the research, thousands of patients suffered almost every day of illness, including terminal disease. He found in his research that a large number of them had gallstones in the liver. In this case, also the gall in the gallbladder. The individuals eliminating these stones through the liver and gallbladder flush took simple health supportive measures and recovered from their diseases that define both conventional and alternative methods of treatment.
Excuse me.
Got a sneeze. Although this method is nothing, although this method has nothing to do with any particular disease, is nevertheless to create a precondition for the body to heal itself, regardless of infection or whatever you have. How to follow the description of some of these more common markers indicating the presence of gallstones in the liver and gallbladder. Wouldn't you like to know if you think you possibly have stones? I had no gallbladder. None. It got taken out 20 years ago, and I finally did my first liver flush, and I had gallstones, and I was like, okay, so there's something to this. What we follow as a description of some of these more common markers indicate the presence of gallstones in the liver or gallbladder. If you have any of these, you most likely deserve great benefits from doing a liver and gallbladder flush. In this guy's practice, he found an indication of high accurate, in most cases, some were the major stones, and the liver cleanse improved their overall health. There's an old saying, the proof is in the pudding. So why aren't we eating the pudding, people? When you and I think it takes more than one flush to get all the stones out, and you can't do them. You have to do them, I think, every month is a good idea. And then there's a modified way to do a liver flush, and that's what we figured out kind of here to do. And I will share that in time, how we do it, a modified gallbladder flush, and then things to do in between. Especially if you've been eating so much sugar and you're addicted to sugar, I know it's so hard. It's so hard. That is why the ketogenic diet is helpful. You know, you can still kind of get your sweets and certain stuff, but not getting that full on sugar. And intermittent fasting is totally possible. And it is super, super beneficial to your liver. Okay. He says, I must mention at the point that the liver and gallbladder flush is not for all people and all illnesses. There are other causes of illnesses such as poor nutrition, irregular sleep habits, lack of regular sun exposure, decrease in vitamin D, many other things that factor in the formation of gallstones in your liver. Also, it can be just a band-aid. So he said to look at other things. Signs and markers in your skin. Are we thinking about your skin? The major function of your skin and the things that you might see if you have a not good functioning liver and you have gallbladder. Black spots are small, large brown patches on your skins. Freckles or moles usually appear on the right side of the forehead between the eyebrows or under the eye. They also show up just below the shoulder and the shoulder blades. Most prominent called liver spots or age spots. Have you had those? Vertical wrinkles between the eyebrows. I thought that was very interesting. Vertical things between the eyebrows. Some people, you know, that are younger might not have it, but the deep lines and wrinkles, which are not part of the natural aging, indicate accumulation of gallstones in the liver. Thought that was very interesting. They show that the liver is enlarged and is hardening. So the deeper or longer wrinkles you are, the more determinant in the liver function is progressing. Fine lines show that there are, after the age of 60, are more likely to do the loss of elasticity in the skin and any congested liver problem. Deep lines near the right eyebrow also indicate congestion of the spleen and spleen enlargement. The spleen may have difficulties in effectively moving abnormal dead blood cells from the blood and also known as metabolic waste. Deep vertical lines represent a great deal of representative frustration and anger. Anger rises in gallstones, prevent bile flow. This is also about your emotions. If you are walking around with unresented anger, pain, that we deal with those emotions, if we don't deal with them properly, they will cause problems within our body. So he goes into this whole thing about your skin and on your face. Green or dark temple areas on the side of your head. Oily skin around your forehead. Hair loss in the central region of the head. The nose. The hardening and thickening tissues of the tip of the nose. The eyes. Oh boy, your eyes. Skin around your eyes is yellowish. This indicates the liver and gallbladder are overreactive. Dark, even black color are the same result of kidney, bladder, and reproductive organs. Water containing bags under the eyelids, which is what I've had. These are formed as a result of congestion and digestive secretion in organs. I have this, I wake up with that a little bit, resulting in inadequate lymph drain from the head area. If these bags are chronic and contain fat to the point they toward inflammation or cysts. So interesting. I didn't even think about the little bags that I've been getting. I wake up with them and then I deal stuff with them. And I thought we all do it, but maybe it's my liver congestion. Maybe I'm going to clear up my skin. I know when I started the coffee enemas years ago, I can't believe how well it helped my skin. So now I'm just going to take it to the next level. I'm going to take it to the next level and get my liver functioning better and see if it overall helps my skin function. I'll let you guys know. I'll be the experiment and tell you if that's what's helped with my particular skin. I've noticed also I'm in menopause, and if I don't have the hormones, I have had the moles. I've had actually more moles. I thought it was menopause changes. And what if it's my liver, though? Consistent redness in the white of the eye, a condition caused by a protruding capillary, indicates disorders of circulation and respiratory function. Or white or yellow mucus patch in the eye, showing the body accumulating abnormal amounts of fatty substance in the liver and gallbladder, having massed large quantities of gallstones. A thick discoloration and around the peripheral areas of the iris, typically the lower parts. So there's so much about your eyes. I'm going to have to go into that. Okay, this I thought was very interesting when I read this. I'm just not reading the whole chapter. I'm just giving you little pieces of this chapter that I thought were just intriguing. The tongue, lips, and teeth. The tongue is coated with yellow or white, especially in the back. This indicates an imbalance of secretions of bile, which is a major cause of digestive disorders. Toxic residue, undigested formation, or processed food lingers in the digestive tract, blocking the lymph in this area from being broken down and removed, especially fermenting bacteria such as candida thrive. And getting too much thrush. Teeth impression on the side of the tongue, often complaint of white mucus discharge. Pimples on the tongue, I didn't even know you can get that. Cracks on the tongue, these are signs of long-term indigestive problems when food is not being mixed sufficiently around the bile or remaining particularly undigested. Undigested foods are subject to bacteria, perforation, and lots of problems. Repeated mucus discharge into the throat and the mouth may cause from bile toxins and bacteria into the stomach, therefore irritating, presenting the lining and triggered secretion of amount of mucus. Bad breath and frequent burping. I can't tell you that I've seen this symptom and my husband, and we ignored it. Both of these conditions are point towards presence of undigested fermenting and purifying the food in the GI tract. Bacteria act on the waste material producing gases, which are very toxic at times. hence the bad odor eliminated from our breath. Chronic congestion in the upper respiratory tract and tooth decay may also play a role. Crust formation on the corner of the mouth, indicated of duodenum ulcers. Interesting. Dark spots or patches on your lips. This marks obstructions in the liver and gallbladder. Swollen or enlarged lips. Swollen or sensitive bleeding gums. Inflammation deep in the throat. Tooth problems. Tooth problems is definitely nutritional imbalance and poor digestion and overconsumption of refined, processed, high acid formulating foods such as sugars, chocolate, meat, coffee, soda, and depleting your body of minerals and vitamins. Hands and feet. White, fatty skin on the fingertips. Dark, red fingernails. Whitish nails, accumulating of fat, mucus around the heart and liver. Vertical ridges in the fingernails. Horizontal indication in the nails. White dots in the nails appear to eliminate large amount of calcium or zinc. Unresponded excess consumption of sugar containing foods or beverages. Hard protruding of the ball of the foot. A yellow colored feet. Hardening at the tip of the toe or calculus under the foot of the toe shows gallbladder functions are stagnant. General, you need to get things flowing better. Curving of the first toe inward. Okay, that's weird. White color and ridged surface. Interesting, right? The consistent. Okay, what does your poop look like? Okay, so this is going to be gross, but truth, okay? The stool or fecal matter, you need to look at it. You need to understand the odors. You need to know that's a way to see your digestion and your liver flow. Fermenting, so dry, hard stools, all indication of constipation, not a good thing. Mostly due to an inadequate secretion of bile by the liver and gallbladder. Feces look pale, white, or gray. This is bad juju. This is indicating a poor liver performance, indication of bile secretion. Floating stool containing large amounts of undigested fats. And then we can go into like a whole other thing. We'll do just talk about those. Just talk about those. There's more concepts when it comes to liver. All interesting things. And then like, are we doing enough to love our livers? And I don't think we are. I think in society we just go and then we see a medical doctor and they know nothing of this. It's why you need to have, yes, a medical doctor in your practice, but you need to have a good naturopath. And we've had to go through three to find one. Three naturopaths before we found one we liked. So don't tell me they're all the same and they're all good. No. There are some that are stupid too. This is why you would need to do self-care and educate. This is why I have this podcast together. This is why I'm learning myself and I don't know it all. And if a doctor tells you he knows it all, then you need to fire him. You need to be working on you. You need to be taking ownership of your own health. Now we're going to finish this with Telegram. There are some still cool stuff on my Telegram I wanted to share. So bear with me as I get to it. But I hope that this you feel empowered in this podcast. I hope that you feel that this is beneficial. Okay. And that you feel loved.
That I have isolated XMRVs, HIVs, HTLVs, shown them to be infectious and transmissible. So it's not that.
Hey,
not
Judy, I was wondering if you could actually explain to me exactly the procedure you did, because I haven't seen any articles published with an actual isolation by like the definition that's in the dictionary to separate from everything else, not to do, you know, cell culture experiments like Enders did, which like are done in SARS-CoV-2.
Well, certainly what you have to do, Andy, and that this is, you know, done from, you know, the first human retrovirus isolations is, you know, retroviruses use all the host cell machinery. So they bud from human cells and they pull the human cell, much like you're saying, much like an exosome. You pull the membrane, you pull
Judy, the... that's not what I asked. That's mm-hmm. never been visualized or observed. But I want to know, what procedure did you use to actually separate a HIV virus from everything else? And where can I see the images of it?
Well, we used electron micrographs, and we used ultracentrifugation mm-hmm. of the concentrated viruses, and we showed them transmissible to human cells from human cells. So we pulled them out of human cells. You can't pull the envelope away. You can't, because human retroviruses use the cell machinery. So that envelope that is surrounding.
No, wait. So what exactly did you put through the centrifuge? Did you take blood of an AIDS patient?
And saliva of an AIDS patient and transmit it directly into humans.
Well, no. Well, we're talking about isolation experiment first, not transmission. So first you have to show it exists, right?
You have to grow it. You cannot grow a virus without a cell. Sorry.
Can't you take it out of a sick person?
Guys.
Oh, so where did you do that?
In Fort Detrick in 1983, from the very people, Luc Montagnier, from the French Canadian airline flight attendant, from the very sick AIDS patients, from dozens of them. And we did the same thing with HTLV from people with adult T cell.
So you took the saliva or blood from sick people and directly put that through a centrifuge and purified out particles, and then showed them under an electron microscope where you could see nothing but those particles that are identical to each other?
But the budding particle, clearly the
well,
budding.
Well, if it's budding, then it's mixed with cells. It's not isolated.
But again, you can't, a retrovirus uses the entire.
Were you saying you can't isolate it? You can't isolate it from the cell?
That is not the virus. No, because.
I see. So then you can't really show that it's real if you can't see it by itself. Because a lot of things.
Well, it is the virus particle.
I'm going to interrupt both.
See what's important
here,
Doug is interrupting because he just wants a smooth conversation in order for people to make it more watchable for people. This is what Alex Jones does. This is what Joe Rogan does. A lot of times they don't want to press you on something because they just want to go along with the conversation to make it a good, enjoyable, long podcast or stream. But Andrew Kaufman did something unusual here. I didn't think he would do this. I thought he would go along with what Judy Mikovits was saying in order to just make a good, watchable stream. But what he did was press her and not let her escape, not let her get away with this idea that viruses get people sick. In order to determine if viruses are contagious, you must isolate it by itself with nothing else in the cell culture. Judy Mikovits has never done that. She's written multiple papers.
Now, this is so stupid. She explains, and he doesn't let him finish that. You cannot do that. A virus does not live on its own. This dude is not taking microbiology. I already know it. Not taking my microbiology. Viruses don't live on their own. He was trying to get it from the cell. It incorporates itself inside that cell. We have to take pieces of it out of it. There's a whole bunch of people out there that decided that they are going to say viruses don't exist. You got to be kidding. You're so stupid at this point. There is something that's making people sick. Whether this is a virus, which a virus isn't living. I was taught this in my microbiology class. Were you, Andrew? Were you, whoever this idiot who breaks up part of this little interview and decides that he's smarter than everybody? Were you? Stupid. Anyways, go take that. Viruses do not live on their own. There's this whole theory about that. I'm not going to go into that. I just thought that they attacked them, and I just wanted to share that. You can listen to the whole thing in my Telegram if you want to listen more. Here's another thing.
You've got on the screen right now. I don't know how anybody in the world can openly associate with them.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, first of all, it's ironic to me that he's Jewish and a Nazi sympathizer. You would think that if you were Jewish, you would not be a Nazi sympathizer. But this guy keeps talking about how the Nazis had it. They figured it out. not hit my words, his. This guy, this Harari guy, you know, he keeps talking about the Nazis and this, that, and other. And then he talks about how humans are going to become gods and how we're going to transcend God and God's fake news. Jesus Christ is fake news, which I also find to be amazing, because the people who are listening to this guy are the same people who a few years ago applauded when the cartoonist that drew the prophet Muhammad got killed,
mm-hmm.
because they said they deserved it for insulting the prophet. But this guy's calling Jesus Christ fake news, and no one seems to have an issue with it.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You know, there seems to be kind of a double standard here. This guy is an open anti-Semite Jew. What? How does that happen? You know, so you've got a guy who, you know, praising Nazis and monsters, but in addition to everything else, it's also amazing. This guy is a historian, yet somehow he's a scientific advisor for Schwab and all these other people. You know, nothing about this makes sense other than the fact that this guy is apparently willing to sell his soul for a nickel, and Schwab and crew seem to like that. You know, meanwhile, you know, he's also, as an added bonus, as if all that we've said about him isn't enough, he's apparently pro-slavery. Because what he keeps talking about is, you know, humans are hackable. The illusion of free will. We're going to get rid of that. We're going to merge you with machines. Well, guess what? If you take my free will, then what am I? I'm a slave.
A slave. That's
you
right.
are.
And by the way, I can't think of a thing more antithetical to Christ. Because think about this, right? There's a passage in the book. Then he could turn stones into descendants of Abraham. Right? Well, God created us. And if you believe in a creator God, I don't care whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Christian or what you are, if you believe in a creator God, then you have to inherently believe that that creator God would have had the authority and capability to create us as slaves. He could have made slaves.
Sure.
I mean, he created humanity, he created the universe, he could have created slaves. But he didn't. He gave each of us, in all of the major religions, free will to choose to believe or choose not to believe. That's inherently the definition of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remove free will, that is the opposite of the intention of creation. That is the opposite of God. Slavery is the opposite of God.
That's right.
Correct.
Yet this guy is out openly promoting enslaving and removing free will. And when you look at freedom, breaks down into kind of three areas to my mind. There's freedom of speech, which allows us to communicate ideas and thoughts and interact. There's freedom of movement and bodily autonomy, control our physical presence. And then there's freedom of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom to think and to be and to believe. Well, if you take that one away, if you eliminate any of them, you've eliminated freedom. But if you take the freedom of conscience away, then you've eliminated free speech and free everything, because you don't even control what you believe or think or do. And that's what this guy is aiming for. But what he never, and I'm sorry to be on such a long tirade, but you know, this is incredible that you've got a guy out here promoting slavery, promoting Nazis, and yet Obama's praising him. He's getting meetings with Macron and Merkel. He's, you know, Schwab's advisor. The Ivy League universities keep inviting him back. And nobody's saying to these people, wait a second, you're inviting it like slavery and Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's saying a word. We're supposed to be okay with that? Imagine if Trump invited someone like this to the White House.
Exactly. They're talking about what the hell is this guy's name? You'll hear him everywhere. Yuval Noah Harari, who is an evil man, and no one sees it. And if you're hidden in a rock and you don't know who he is, I'm sorry. This was kind of an interesting podcast, but I hope that this intrigues you to listen to more, and we'll get into loving your liver more. And thanks for hanging out with me. Have a blessed day.